Hello, everybody. It reminds me of my school days when I look down and see all you beautiful people loving school and you're very disappointed to have to leave your mathematics and your geography and so on. Well, the most pleasant thing for me when I arrived here today was to be greeted by our Blessed Lady. I was so thrilled when I saw a little medal around the girl's neck, the miraculous medal, and I said, now I feel at home. But I also felt proud of the young people of America, because we have a little problem in some countries that sometimes boys and girls are shy to share their joy and their faith and their religion. And when you were baptized, God did not just create you or baptize you to come and lead a nice life and go to heaven. Of course, that's what he wants. But he wants you to do something beautiful for him while you're on this earth. And mainly what you must do is share the good news of your faith. So you see why I felt at home when I saw a little medal that a girl was wearing, the very first girl I met. I won't tell you her name, she might blush, but I think all of you should be very proud of your medals and don't be shy of it. I can't tell you everything in a short time, but I'd like to tell you that before I became a member of the Legion of Mary, I was a little bit selfish in my religion. I went to Mass, said my rosary with my family every night and so on. There were 10 children in our family. We all knelt around and prayed together. But I had a strange idea of Our Lady. I just used to say, Mary, give me this. Mary, please give me that. It wasn't wrong to do it, of course. Mary is our mother. But only when I joined the Legion of Mary did I discover what real, true devotion to Mary means. It means, Mary, can I do something for you? Mary, I'm at your service. Let me visit your son and the old people and sick people and poor people. Therefore, even though I don't think you have a Legion of Mary group in your area or school, it may be someday you will. So I'd like to tell you a little about my own experiences of it. Because even if you never get an opportunity to join the Legion of Mary, I know all of you are interested in doing something beautiful for God and for His Blessed Mother Mary during your life here on this earth. I remember some years ago passing through a town in America, and I saw a huge banner on the entrance to the town, and it was made by the young people of that area, the schoolboys and schoolgirls. And the banner said, let's make America beautiful again. I thought it was a lovely thing. We have in every country many problems, but we also have in every country many young people who want to do something. If you like, a kind of spiritual revolution. Each one of us is a spiritual revolutionary wanting to bring something beautiful into the world, do something lovely for your soul. Some years ago when I was in Russia, one of the legionary girls who was with me came to me running and said, Father, I have met a Catholic, an old man. You must come and meet him. So I went with the little girl outside the town, and there, just at the edge of the forest, I saw this old man. He must have been the oldest man I ever saw in my life. He was at least, I think, 100 years old by his appearance, a long white beard down to the ground nearly, a crooked hat, a little crooked stick, and he was a little bit crooked himself. Lovely old man. And he stood up from sitting on a tree when he saw me coming, and he said, are you a Catholic priest? And I said, I am. And he said, praised be the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the first Catholic priest I have met since 1917. That was 70 years before. And then he got very excited and he spoke so quickly in Russian I didn't fully understand everything. I spoke a little Russian, of course. And he had one great wish before he died, that he could get confession. Then he said, I will die happy. So we went back in a little bit to the forest and Kathleen sat on the tree that was on the ground and she prayed and prayed away. She was so happy for the old man. And under the trees I gave him confession. I must say I didn't understand everything he said in Russian. Maybe he got away with murder. But I know that the Lord understood and I gave him a beautiful absolution. And he said, before I go, I must say hello to Kathleen. That was the girl. Because I have a message for her. So we came back and Kathleen was there. She was wiping her eyes because she was so happy. And he said to Kathleen, and I had to translate, Kathleen, I will always remember you. Because you are the person that brought the Catholic priest to me for the first time since 1917. Then we said goodbye. The old man went back into the forest. And just before he disappeared, he turned around, took off his little crooked hat, and made the sign of the cross. That was his way of saying goodbye. And then he went home, probably to die soon, but to die happy. And I thought myself, what a joy for the rest of her life, for Kathleen to know that she brought someone near to God. There was a priest friend of mine, Father Aidan McGrath, and he brought the Legion to China. And the young people in China loved the Legion of Mary, but Father McGrath was taken away and put into prison. And all during his 3 years in prison, he was very happy. Why? Because he told me afterwards, he worked with me later when he came out, he said he knew that people were praying for him. Many others went mad, completely mad, but not he. He got a special strength and blessing from Our Lady. Once they brought him in to interrogate him under all the lights, having kept him from sleep, and he just lay down on the floor before them and fell fast asleep. They kicked him and beat him. They couldn't wake him up. It was a special grace because someone, someplace, was praying for him. One day, I spoke to a lady on the streets in Russia. She had a little girl who was only 7 years of age. And the little girl didn't understand much, but we talked to the mother about God because people had no opportunity in Russia of hearing about God. There are only two Catholic priests in the whole of Russia for 242 million people. And this lady was so happy, so joyful that when we were leaving her, she said, "What can I give you for what you have given me?" We had given her God. And then she looked at her little daughter who had a little bag of sticky sweets. And she said something to the daughter and to me. She was going to give me the little bag of sweets. And of course you felt like taking candy from a child's mouth. But the little girl said to her mama, "No, mama, you tell him that's from me." And the mother insisted that she give me this as a little gift. Never have I so much in my whole life enjoyed a little bag of sticky sweets. The only thing she had, she was a poor woman, that was her little thanksgiving for giving her God. Last year, I met a little girl called Olga. Olga was 12 years old. She had no religion. Her mother had no religion or her father, but one day she said to her mama, "Mama, I want to be a Catholic." "You want to be a Catholic? That's strange," she said. "We have no Catholics in our family." And the girl said, "Please, Mama, let me be Catholic." The mother said, "But how can you be Catholic? We have no priests in Russia." Anyway, the mother was sad for the daughter because even though the mother had no belief, she would have loved to give the daughter what she wanted. That same day, two of our legionaries who were with me in Russia met the lady and said, "May we speak to you about God and the Catholic Church?" Wow, was the lady surprised. And she said, then you better bring the priest to my daughter. I have no belief, but my daughter wants to be Catholic. So the Legionist came back quickly and brought me to another park. It was always dangerous visiting people in their homes because they could get into great difficulty, but we could meet them in the parks and streets. So we had a lovely conversation, Olga and myself and the mother. And I talked to them about Jesus and Mary. And as I spoke, each word I said, Olga's face would light up with joy. She was discovering Jesus and Mary. And then she would sometimes look at the two girls who were with me, the two legionaries, as much as to say, oh boy, you really are wonderful girls that you brought the priest to see me. How happy they must have been. The end of the story maybe wasn't so good because she wanted to be Catholic, but it was my last day in Russia and all the churches were closed, so I couldn't baptize her so easily. But I said to the mother, here is the phone number, the telephone of the Catholic priest. You just ring him and everything will be okay. He will baptize your child and everything. During the following year, that's just the year gone by, Olga and I corresponded. We wrote to one another. And now we have a lot more freedom since last year in Russia, so I could send her little books in Russian and catechisms. She was learning more. Sent her the life story of St. Teresa of Lisieux in Russian. And she loved everything. But she never mentioned her baptism. This year I went back and we arranged to meet the lady and her daughter. So we phoned up, made an appointment, and we met in the same little park. And I noticed a strange thing. Olga had her fist closed, like this. It's unusual to see a little girl walking in a park with her hand tightly closed. I wondered, what has she to hide? But I didn't ask any questions. In Russia, you keep your ears open and your mouth closed. So we were walking along, waiting to get a seat and sit down, and then the mother said, Olga, you have something to tell Father Robert. That's what they call me in Russia. My name is Father Robert Bradshaw. And Olga was a bit shy, said, no, Mama, you tell him. She didn't want to tell me. The mother said, no, you tell him. So she smiled a little and she said, I have to tell you, I did not get baptized. Well, I couldn't murder the little girl just because she didn't get baptized. I thought maybe sometime when she's a lady grown up she will. But we were walking along again, looking for a seat in the park. And the mother said, but Olga, you didn't tell Father Robert why you didn't get baptized. So then the girl smiled. And she opened her fist. And she looked at me. And out of her fist, she took a little scrap of paper. That's all she had. And on it were written some words in English. She had started learning English in school. But all morning, she'd been practicing this sentence she had written. And she looked at me and she said, Father Robert, I did not get baptized because I was waiting for you to baptize me. So the end of the story was that I continued the instruction. And I said to the mother, what about yourself? And she said, do you remember those two girls you had with you last year? She said, they taught me how to pray. I never learned how to pray. I didn't know anything about God. But I have been praying and I got the gift of faith. I'm ready too. Please baptize me. So we went, the mother and daughter, the two legionaries who were with me, they were different girls this year. And we went off to a little convent founded by Mother Teresa of Calcutta in Leningrad last February. And there I said Mass, baptized the mother and daughter, gave them confirmation, confession, and First Holy Communion. Oh, you would have to see the joy on their faces. And again, I saw time and again, little Olga and her mother would look not at me, I was a little jealous, maybe. But they'd look at the two girls as much as to say, boy, you really did a lovely thing for God and for us when you brought us the priest and brought us to baptism. That is why you must remember, wherever you go, perhaps you won't get an opportunity to join the Legion of Mary. Maybe it won't be in your parish. But wherever you are, you have power in your souls to influence other people. You can do tremendous things for God, for the church, for Our Lady, and for your country. When I went first to Russia, my very first year, I went into a hotel and I didn't speak any Russian then. I could only speak English. So I saw this lady. She was very tall and very big. She was huge. And I was a little bit nervous, you know, but I couldn't speak to her. So I showed her a miraculous medal. Well, was she happy. And then she gave me the sign. She couldn't speak to me, but she gave me the sign of the Christian, like this. Just crossed her two fingers. In Russia, that means I am a Christian. And of course, I was so happy to see this, and I gave her a blessing. It was all I could give her. I couldn't speak to her. And next thing, before I could escape, do you know what happened? Wow, she threw her two big arms around me. And she kissed me and she hugged me. Oh, I tell you, it was a crushing experience. You don't know all the dangers of Russia. But at least it was so marvelous to see what it meant to her, a little medal. That meant Our Lady would now dwell in her home. Later, I met a mother and a girl called Maria, 18 years of age. And they were so happy. They were Christians, but knew nothing. So we went and instructed them in their house, and they just cried. And they were learning the story about Jesus, and especially about what he suffered for us. And sometimes Maria would say, is it really true? Did really Jesus suffer all this? And then she would cry again. Then she said to me before we left, may I show you something in my room? I said, please do. So she brought me to her little room, and over the bed she had a little curtain. Strange place to have a curtain. But she pulled back the curtain. And there was a simple center page of an old magazine depicting the mother and child, the mother Mary and the child Jesus. It wasn't worth 2 cents. It was old, it was tattered, it was bruised and broken. But for that little girl, that was her treasured possession. Mary was living in her house, Mary and the child Jesus. I needn't tell you that when I came back the following year, I brought her a beautiful, really beautiful picture of Our Lady and the child in color. Oh, she kissed me. It wasn't such a crushing experience this time, but she was so, so happy. There was a priest walking along the streets in Russia. But he couldn't dress as a priest, and he couldn't act as a priest because he had just been released from a prison in Siberia. He had been condemned 20 years hard labor for the penalty of being a priest. You should pray for your priests. And then, because his health broke down, he was released but told never practice as a priest again and never dress as a priest. It was very hard on him. He couldn't meet any priest. I told you there are only 2 in all Russia. And then all of a sudden, he stopped in his tracks and he listened. And he heard something strange and he thought, I must be dreaming. But no, he wasn't dreaming. It was the Ave Maria. So he followed the sound and he came down to the beach where we were on the rocks and he saw our group singing the Ave Maria. Sometimes we sang Irish songs, sometimes we talked to the people on the rocks about Jesus and Mary, and sometimes we sang little hymns. And so, when he came to the rocks, he sat down, a legionary came to him and smiled and spoke to him, but he didn't understand her. She had no idea he was a priest. She came to me, said, Father, come back and speak to this gentleman. I came back and spoke to him in my best Russian. He smiled at me, but he didn't know a word I was saying. I said, that's strange. I tried again. He still didn't understand me. I knew my Russian wasn't that bad. And then I got an idea and I said, in Latin, Ert tu sacerdos. Are you a priest? If he wasn't, of course, he wouldn't know what I was saying anyway, so I wouldn't get into trouble. He smiled and he said, Dominus vobiscum. He was a priest. So there was a man at the back of the group called Red Shirt. He followed us every place. He was, you know, KGB. And we didn't bother too much. We knew how to kind of manage him and get rid of him. So I went to one of the legionaries and I said, "You look after Red Shirt. I have to talk to this priest." "Very well, Father. No problem," she said. I thought she'd go back and maybe talk to Red Shirt. She didn't. She was too cute. She went up to the front of our group and started whispering to one of the girls, looking very suspiciously, looking left and right. And then she says, "Come on." And the two girls went up and off that way they went. And Red Shirt followed them. And the priest and I went the other way. And we had a marvelous conversation. He was from another communist country. And he told us then he had come secretly as a layman. And he never in his wildest dreams thought he would meet a priest. I can't tell you about our conversation for the next 3 hours. It was just heavenly. It wasn't I met him. It wasn't he met me. It was Our Lady, the Ave Maria, who brought us together. And I thought, some place in the world, someone is praying for priests. It is very, very important. Maybe someday, some of you will be priests and sisters. And then, of course, if God gives you this vocation, you have great power to help people. The power of God working through you. Let me tell you about Tanya. She was 18 or maybe 19. She was a university student. We converted her. She had no belief in God. But we converted her after a few days, and she was a lovely person and wanted to find out more and more and more, because she said, "We won't meet the Catholic priest again, though we will meet the Russian Orthodox priest." Russian Orthodox Church is a branch of the Catholic Church. So when we were leaving, I said, "Tanya, you must share your faith with other people. We can only meet a certain number, but you can go and spread the good news among your friends." And she said, "What do you mean, Father?" So I repeated it. And she said, "But what do you think I have been doing for the last 4 nights? "Oh," I said, "tell me more." She said, "Well," she said, "the first night you spoke to me about the church and Jesus and Mary and the Catholic Church, I went home and I told my friends. And every night since then, 11 of my students in the university come to my house and they wait for the latest news bulletin about the Catholic Church." And she said, "They're waiting for me tonight." And she said, "Next Wednesday we've all arranged to go and get baptized." I was so thrilled. I hadn't even told her to be an apostle. But she was so happy with the joy and the news, she had to go. Let me tell you a little about China. I told you Father Aidan McGrath started the Legion of Mary there. The communists, of course, hated the Legion because they don't mind people who just go to Mass on Sunday. Communism can grow, materialism can grow, all kinds of problems. But when you have people who love their religion so much that they talk about it and they share about it and they wear their little medal and baptize and help old and sick people, then communism or anything else can't defeat the church. At any rate, the legionaries were told, "You have to leave the Legion of Mary or else you go to prison." They wouldn't do it. Noel Wong, one of the legionaries, was 18 years old and was president of the Junior Presidium. Do you know what she did when she heard about this? She got her juniors, they were only 13 or 14 years of age, to march down the streets of Shanghai City, singing out at the top of their voices, "Blessed are you when they shall persecute you in my name. Be glad, rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven." Youngsters. They weren't afraid of the communists. But that night, Father McGrath, my friend, heard about it. And he said, "Noel," he said, "come here. You're crazy," he said. "You will get yourself into jail, into prison if you do this." Noel stamped her foot and she said, "Father McGrath, you shouldn't speak like that. It would be a glorious thing to suffer for the church and for our Blessed Lady." Poor Father McGrath was shivering in his boots like I or you or anybody. Not Noel Wong. Father McGrath was captured, put into prison and tortured for 3 years. I won't tell you about that. It's a bit frightening. But he often wondered what became of Noel. When he came out, he asked. And they had to tell him. She was captured. She had wanted to become a Carmelite sister, just to give her life in prayer and penance for God and the church. She didn't get the chance. Instead, they took her rosary beads, her medal. Oh boy, if you knew how the communists fear the rosary, how they fear the medal, you would possess that with great joy. You'd never be without it. It's your protection. She hadn't it. She had to go to prison all alone, in a little cell, solitary confinement. That was her convent cell. We don't know to this day if she's dead or alive. We just know she was never released. Pray for Noel Wong. There was another girl called Johanna Hayesho, went and started 360 branches of the Legion of Mary before she was caught. They put her into jail for 27 years. I often asked people to pray for her. And 2 years ago, I was giving a talk in a little village in Ireland, and I said, pray for Johanna and pray for Noel. Would you believe it? The following year, I was in the same house, in the same little village in County Meath in Ireland, and the telephone rang. Johanna Hayesho was on the phone. She had just been released from prison. She knew or heard that I had been asking people to pray for her. She wanted to meet me to thank me. I came to Dublin. She had got a permission to come to Dublin. And you would think she was sorrowful. No. She had spent 27 years of her life in prison, and she said they were the most joyful years of her life. She told me about her tortures because I asked her. But she said, you may tell everything about me except the tortures, because my family is still back in China, so I can't tell you about them. But I can tell you, you are lucky. You're better not to hear about them. You would not believe the degradation of men's cruelty if I told you about Johanna's tortures. She is our sister in Jesus Christ. She was our sister legionary. I suppose it was the prayers of the auxiliary legions around the whole world that kept her sane and alive. But the miracle to me wasn't that she survived, but rather that she was so happy to have the privilege to serve our Lord and our Lady for 27 years in prison. My goodness, I envied her. Maybe I should give you a chance to ask some questions, otherwise I might talk too much. So let me take a drink of, I hope it's vodka or something. And while I'm drinking my, no, it's not vodka. When I'm drinking my little drink, then we'll have a few questions. Now, does anybody like to ask a question?
Yeah, I think you were a nice one. How's that?
I often ask myself, how's that? I went to Iceland 13 years ago because there were only 4 priests there. 3 of them were very old and rather inactive. The church was in a rather desperate situation. It's a lovely island. I'm glad you asked that now, because maybe some boys and girls would like to volunteer to come when you finish school. I know you'd come now if you got a chance, but when you finish school, because I depend on the Legion of Mary. It was once a Catholic island, and then at the Protestant Reformation in 1550, the Catholic faith was wiped out. So the church has been allowed back, and little by little, it's growing. Maybe 1% is Catholic, 99% Lutheran. My parish is 700 miles wide and 300 miles deep. I have 42 towns and villages. I'm the only priest in that parish. So I'm very fortunate to have a few members of the Legion of Mary. The first volunteers were from America, 2 girls. Then I got some from Ireland, and since then I got more from Christendom College. So if you go to Christendom College, I'll be seeing you, because I need you. How old am I? Well, if I tell you when I was born, can you add up yourself? I was born 1929. I don't remember seeing you around that time. So if you tot up that, you'll find I'm 61 years old. In Russia, they always ask your age. We love it because the men don't mind telling it, but Irish girls, when they're over 16 or 17, they never like to tell their age. So we always often, the Russians say, how old are you? And then the ladies have to say how old they are in front of us. Oh boy, it's exciting. There are many sects in Russia. Like there are really not missionaries as such, because you can't call the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness and those a religion. But unfortunately, they're very active and they're getting many recruits, because the Russian people are just hungering for God, and naturally whoever comes first. So that's why we are needing many volunteers for Russia. We take a group of 24. This year we took two groups into Russia. But I suppose you could say the only really Catholic Christian groups are the Legion of Mary groups, Catholic groups. Well, I'm quite certain, because sometimes people say, you know, what happened in Russia, there are many reasons, but the main reason is not political or economic. The main reason is Our Lady promised that if people pray and do sacrifice, Russia will be converted. Now, not everybody heeds Our Lady's call, but there have been many thousands of people throughout the world that are really believers in the message of Fatima and do pray regularly for the conversion of Russia and make sacrifices. Without prayer and sacrifice, mission is a waste of time. Let me tell you something strange. I met a girl in Tipperary town. She became an invalid at the age of 13, was confined to bed, suffered immense agony, but always smiled. She said, this is her mission. So she adopted me on the mission, especially when I went to Russia and Iceland. And each year before going, I would call in to her and say, Catherine, I'm off to Russia on such a date. She'd say, thanks, Father, I'll remember. And she would. So many of the miracles that happened, I know, were worked by God because of her prayers. One year I went, and I went into her and I said, Catherine, this is a special year. Do something special. I went to Russia, and extraordinary things happened. I came back, I went to thank her, and I saw a sign on the door, please don't knock. Ring the bell. Now this girl had very often been on the point of death, had got the anointing of the dying, and I wondered, was she now dead? I didn't know. She was maybe 19 years of age. I rang the bell, and the mother came out and had her finger up and said, shh, come in please. She said, Catherine is asleep now, but you must wait until she's awake, because she is looking forward to your return. She wants to know how it went. And then she told me a strange story. She said one night, Catherine all of a sudden went into a coma of intense suffering. It was so bad that everyone in the room was sweating with anguish. They all said the prayers of the dying, and they thought she would die within the hour, but she didn't. The same happened the next day, and the next day, and the next day. A permanent agony on the cross for that young girl. Then all of a sudden, after some time, she came out of it and was reasonably well again and back to consciousness and smiled. And her first question, how did Father Bradshaw get on in Russia? And her mama said, I'm sure he will come, so we'll wait and see. So when I came to Tipperary, I called. And I said to the mother, when did she go into a coma? She told me. When did she come out? She told me. She went into her agony the exact moment we landed in Russia. She came out the exact moment we came out of Russia. I went into Catherine and I said, Catherine, thank you so much, but I did not mean you to do that. She had offered herself as a victim on the cross for Russia. No wonder miracles happen. So I said, thank you very much, but just do a little bit in future, please. The girl died a few years later. Oh boy, she was a saint. And that's why, you see, when we see some people who do so much in suffering and other ways, we say it's great if everyone does something. Be really proud of your religion. You have no idea. Let me tell you what happened at the end of the Chinese story. The communists decided to kill all the legionaries. Imagine seeing your name, Margaret or John or whatever your name is, up on a board. You come out from school and you see this. And after your name, the date of your execution, the date you were to be killed. Underneath was a notice which said, if you wish to cancel your killing, your execution, just cross your name off. That would mean, of course, you're taking your name off the roll book of the Legion of Mary. Do you think the legionaries crossed their names off? No. They chose martyrdom, and between 1,000 and 4,000 of them were martyred for the faith. Then the communists made a terrible mistake. They broadcast the execution on loudspeakers throughout the city of Shanghai. They thought this will frighten all, especially the university students were flocking into the Legion of Mary, the young adults. And when they heard this broadcast, they said, this is extraordinary, because some of them were new Catholics. And they liked their religion, but they never realized what a possession it was. And they said, my goodness, this Catholic faith must be really something that people are prepared to die rather than lose it. And they flocked in great numbers into the Legion of Mary to become martyrs. That's why the communists had to stop making martyrs. They just rounded them up and put them into prison instead. You'd be surprised the heroism that's in very ordinary people. I remember once I was talking to a group of people and I said, in every person there's a lot of good, and in every person there's a little bit of evil. And some people in the congregation were a little bit restless, and I thought, maybe someone thinks she's not so good. And I repeated it. I said, in every person, no matter how wild, how daring, how anything else, there is some good. And after my mass, a girl came around to see me in the house. And she said, Father, she said, I always thought I was evil and bad until today. And you gave me new hope. She said, I began to think maybe there was a little goodness. And she said, give me your blessing, I'm going to start again. Therefore, all of us, you know, we all have a little weakness, we all have a little goodness. We have to constantly fight. The devil is active, sometimes in a quite subtle way, but he is active. We have to fight him and use the goodness that's in us in our prayers, our sacrifices, and especially sharing the joys of your religion. Any other questions? Oh, maybe about 20. Mostly Africa, Sweden, Holland, Syria, England, Scotland and Wales, of course, and a few more, but mostly I concentrate on Russia and Iceland. Because the Russian government wouldn't allow them. They only allowed one in each city, one in Moscow and Leningrad, and they had to be foreigners. They wouldn't allow a Catholic Russian priest. But this year, you can't imagine my joy when I met a Russian priest. He had been secretly studying. He was an atheist, became a Catholic. He's now a Catholic priest. He has no house, no status, no parish, nothing. But he's meeting people in the underground stations, and we're sending people to him. So he has a kind of a little congregation. And we think before this year is out, he will be appointed. He'll be the first Russian Catholic priest in Russia. So I'd love you to pray for the priests of Russia.
How many Catholics are there?
It's hard to say, because they're mostly of foreign descent, like Polish, Lithuanian, Latvian, and so on. In Russia itself, it's mostly Russian Orthodox Church, and we have a lot of contact with them as well, of course. That's a difficult question to answer in public, but let me say this. Now, don't ask me too many questions. But I have been in very many, very tight corners in Russia. sometimes I would have been very, very frightened, I have to admit, if it weren't for the fact that because I was there with the Legion of Mary, I knew Our Lady would protect us. And she got us out of the very difficult situations I was in. But don't ask me too many questions about that, please. Maybe I'll tell you quietly sometime. Otherwise, it'd be on tape, you see. Yes. On Wednesday of this week, a new law was passed allowing freedom of religious organizations. There was some freedom of religion in theory, but it was never allowed in practice. And now you're completely free to do what you like. There are many problems, of course, in Russia, but at least there is now freedom of religion. Oh, it wouldn't be dangerous for us. They wouldn't touch foreigners. But you see, as soon as I'd be gone home, someone would knock on that house and say, excuse me, you had friends from overseas. What were you talking about? That's what I mean. Then their children wouldn't get into high school and arts. But now it's okay. You can knock at any door. You can get up in the street. You can do everything. 1947, I decided to be a priest. Why? I hadn't at all when I was, I don't know how old you are, about how old are you? 17. Well, when I was 17, I had lovely dreams. Lovely dreams. The boys especially will be interested, maybe the girls. And the dream wasn't about the priesthood. I won't tell you her name, but it wasn't about the priesthood. Anyway, I joined the Legion of Mary, and that was marvelous, not just because of our, you know, we used to visit old and sick, and I got to love my religion, but we also had social life. We had fun and dancing and music. Your Legion is a joyful thing. But nevertheless, I was still not thinking about the priesthood. And then one night, we were at a Legion meeting, and I thought, my goodness, here we are doing something to help people, sharing our faith with others. But if I became a priest, then I'd be just doing it all my life. I didn't want to be. Well, not just then. But I thought, which is it going to be? And I tell you, it took me courage. And that's the virtue I prayed for. Courage to do what I knew God was calling me to do. So I decided to be a priest. I had to say goodbye to some very close friends, and I became a priest, and I have always been very glad of that decision. I think only a priest can tell you the joy of being a priest. You ask me, why are you so happy as a priest? I can't explain it. You just have to be a priest to know. When you give everything, you get everything. The same way if a girl becomes a sister, or a nun in a convent. You can't explain it. But also, I missed something that you have, and that was now there are opportunities for young Catholics to be lay missionaries, like those who come to Iceland. I would be lost. I have 3 marvelous young legionaries in Iceland, and I'm hoping to get more. And those who even can't go, the things you can do in your own town and village in sharing the faith. It's great to be a priest, but it's also great just to be a good Catholic and to be so proud of your medal. Maybe you heard of Edel Quinn. She was an Irish girl, born in Cork. At the age of 19, she joined the Legion and became a saint. She would be canonized. Boy, what a beautiful saint she is. She was real mod, you know, kind of crazy, a bit wild out on the bicycle and cycling down the street with no hands out like this, and people say, Edel, don't do that. And she used to really frighten people, and she was getting into trouble sometimes with the nuns, you know, sliding down, singing in the corridors, and the nuns would say, shh, we're all at prayer. Sorry, sister. Da, da, da. Oh, boy, was she lively. She worked in an office at the age of 19. She loved dancing. Oh, boy, she loved dancing. She loved singing. She loved the piano. She loved swimming. She loved tennis. 3 boyfriends proposed marriage to her. But all the time that she was so happy and joyful, she was training herself to be holy in the Legion of Mary. That's the main reason people join the Legion. Not to do good Of course you do good to others, but to do something beautiful for your soul. And she did this. And she became a saint. She went to Africa. She was still gay and happy and joyful and spreading the joy. And she died as a missionary in Africa. We need more saints. There's not one single girl listening to me who could not be another Edel Quinn. I have often asked girls and boys, have you an ambition to be a saint? Sometimes they look at me and say, well, I never thought of it, Father, it would be nice. And I say, that's what you're called to be, nothing less. How you do it, many, many opportunities, many choices. You must, I don't know how, but get hold of her life story. Father Fran, he can get you the life story of Edel, it's a short little book. And read it. You will love her. She's like a sister. I have to watch my clock because I know you have class. And I just want to say what a marvelous experience it was talking to you.